Hey everyone, and welcome to the Practice What You Preach podcast. My name's Avery Elias, here with my stunning co-host Chelsea. Say hi.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, it's finally the new year, guys. We're so excited to have you here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So, as most of you know, I'm Avery. I'm the registered nurse in the group. And I helped start this podcast because I'm really bad at practicing what I preach. I tell my patients what to do every day, and I don't even do it myself, not even remotely. So my goal with this podcast is to work on that. What about you, Tella?
Well, I wanted to do it because I wanted to start a podcast, number one. And I used to practice what I preach really well. And life happens, and I'm at my worst physical state at this point. Not in shape, overweight, not where I want to be mentally or physically. And then this was just kind of another motivator for me to get to where I want to be, but also to show people that everything is not Instagram perfect, and that even the people that do know what to do have a hard time keeping up with it just as much as the next person. So kind of dual purpose for me.
Beautiful. And yeah, as Chell said, we're working through this ourselves. So we're hoping in the journey of this all, we're helping someone else out there to get themselves a little bit better health-wise. So before we get started, we have a disclaimer. Before you do anything in our podcast, please go see your doctor and consult with a registered dietitian. Make sure that what we're doing is healthy for you. We never want anyone to do anything that might, you know, be negative physically or mentally in any way, shape, or form. So go get checked out before you do anything we talk about.
Yes.
So yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
So you guys can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Patreon. So on Instagram, it's Practice What You Preach podcast. Same with Facebook and our Patreon as well. For Twitter, it's PWYP podcast. You can follow us on there at any time and check out some exclusive content on patreon.com. Also, we have our Gmail as usual, practicewhatyoupreachpodcast@gmail.com. So if you guys want to send any comments, any questions, any suggestions, shoot them over to us. We always love hearing from you guys. As always, subscribe, rate, and review all of the podcasts whenever you can. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere where you get your podcast. Yeah. So before we get started, I just want to mention in our last episode, we talked about giving away something. So we want you guys to listen to that last episode because we're going to be giving away a planner that we talk about in this current episode. So go ahead and take a listen and enter for your chance to win something for free. So to get started, we, over the last 2 weeks, have been discussing planners. So it's the beginning of the year and we want to be at tip-top shape to kind of get ready for the year and reach our goals.
Tip-top.
Tip-top. So the two planners we chose are, one's pretty popular, it's called the Panda Planner, and the other one is called the Mindful Planner, and the version of the Mindful Planner that we have is called the Strategist. So we're going over those two. So we kind of, personally for me, I chose the planner episode because I'm very type A. I want everything in one place so I can see what's going on. I have a lot of meetings, so I need everything to be very clear. And then also a lot of the higher ups in my company have a paper and pen planner, and I've been noticing that the last couple of years. So I kind of want to follow suit because if these people who are very successful have a pen and paper planner, I feel like there's something to it. What about you, Chell?
Well, kind of as I said in the last episode, I really need some help, number one, with my time management, but also something to help me keep track of my commitments and you know, my priorities, help me stay a little bit more organized with just a lot of my goals that I'm having, or that I'm trying to make, I should say. I was really interested in the Mindful Planner, though, because it's something that's super different, and I know for me personally, I'm really trying to work on things like thinking outside the box, coming up with more creative solutions, you know, just thinking in a different way. Because I think it's really easy for people to kind of get stuck in like a really mundane pattern of thinking and not really challenge themselves intellectually. So that's kind of where or why I wanted to do these two specifically. I need help.
Don't we all? So to get back to the Panda Planner, you can get a lot of details about it off of pandaplanner.com. So this is really designed to get the most productivity out of your time. It's made up into monthly, weekly, and then also daily tabs as well, which is really nice. And it's really goal oriented. So in the month portion, it has your top month goals, reasons why your goals are important, and then potential distractions that you really need to avoid, which I really enjoyed. And then it has an overall goal and your focus of the month. So you can kind of keep tabs on that throughout the month and making sure you're getting to where you need to be. With the week portion, it's also really nice. It breaks it up into things you want to do in the week when it comes to your personal, work life, family, friends, and then also your relationships. And it makes you list things that you're looking forward to, which is really nice because it can kind of make your day a little bit better when you have a list of things that you know are going to come up that will brighten up your day. And then on top of that, it lists your passion project. So it's something you want to focus on throughout the week and really give your attention to. And then also various other projects, whether it's school or work or something outside of those that you feel like you need to get done. For the daily portion, which I really, really like, it makes you list three things that you're grateful for to start off with. It has a daily habit. So for me, mine was like drink enough water. It has you list things you're excited about for the day as well. An affirmation, something to kind of get you pumped and going for the day. Focus, and then also has a spot for exercise. So it kind of was nice whenever at the end of the day, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't have anything in my exercise portion, so I need to get something done. And then on top of that, you list your priorities, your tasks, and it has a schedule tab as well. So that's kind of the overview for the Panda Planner. They have different sizes. We got the 6-month one. There's a smaller 3-month one. You can go to the website and kind of see what best fits your personality or what you need to do. The other one we did was really, really interesting, and I enjoyed it a lot. So it was called the Mindful
Series.
Yeah, the Mindful Series. So there's three journals that they're doing to this series, and the first one is The Strategist, and that's the one that we got. Tell me a little bit about the Mindful Series, Chell.
Yeah, so if you guys want to check it out, you can go to themindfulseries.com. Like Avery said, the one that we tried was the Mindful Strategist Planner. And it's kind of hard, not hard, but it's weird to call it a planner because it's not your typical planner. You don't do anything for productivity or anything like that. It just asks you really thought-provoking questions. And then they're coming out with two new planners in 2019 this year. And the first one is the Mindful Creative, which is geared more towards creative thinkers. And then the second one is the Mindful Entrepreneur, which that one's also a little bit more self-explanatory. And if you guys are interested in any of these, you can go to the website. But if you're interested in the two that are coming out this year, you can sign up for their emailing list and then get notified of when they're going to come out. And like I said, it's not a productivity planner. This, the Mindful Strategist specifically was, and I'm going to kind of take some wording directly off of their website here, but it was designed to help thinkers, creators, and makers help improve their inspiration, imagination, and ingenuity. So you're not writing in the planner to keep track of what you need to do throughout the day. You're really doing it to kind of give your brain an exercise. It's quite different.
It's super unique. I never thought that I would use anything like this, so I'm glad we chose it because it's the opposite of the Panda Planner. It makes you stop and really think about everything that's going on versus getting 5,000 things done.
Yeah, and a huge thank you again to the co-founder.
Justine.
Yeah, thank you for sending us one.
So much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's kind of go over our experiences. So I kind of wanted to do, let's talk about Panda Planner first and then the Mindful. So for me, the Panda Planner, I loved it. I love, love, loved it. So I love the fact that it makes you start your day with some gratitude, some things you're looking forward to, and then a goal. Mm-hmm. I'm a goal person. So if I know there's something at the beginning of the day I need to work towards, I usually get it done. And then it helped me feel well put together in the mornings because I knew exactly what had to be done. There was a to-do list and a task list. So I was able to write all those down, and I did it the night before so that I wouldn't have to worry about it in the morning. And it was like magic. I got so much done. I felt a lot less stressed with the Panda Planner. And then just starting my day with that gratitude, like every single day, if you look at it, it says my husband and then like my dogs, and it just makes you stop and then get in the right mindset, a positive mindset to get stuff done for your day. So I had a couple of cons though. And it's not the book's fault. It's probably more of me. I kept forgetting to review at the end of the day. Like, I would just go and start my next day versus reviewing what I did, which is totally my fault. And then I would remember, like, the next day or something and be like, oh, crap, I forgot to do that, that, and that. So that's a little bit my fault. The other thing is, the one we had is a bit big, and it's kind of heavy. So that was difficult for me because at my job, my purse is like my backpack, so I have to carry 5,000 things in it anyways. So carrying that on top of, like, my laptop and then my work, I have, like, a workbook in there, it was a lot. So sometimes I would just leave it in my car at times, and it would be hours before I got the chance to go look back at it. So I did miss on some things because I didn't have it with me. So those were my pros and cons for the Panda Planner. How did you feel about it?
So for my pros, obviously it helped me stay more organized with, you know, my commitments and my priorities. I like it because it helps me keep my goals in mind a lot better. Like I mentioned before, it's really easy to set goals and then just, like, completely forget about them. But I noticed with this specifically, and I'm still trying to pinpoint what exactly it is about this specific planner, but it's really keeping them at the forefront of my mind every day, which is really nice. And then I did actually really like that I have to set an affirmation for the day, because it does make a difference. I think that setting an intention and setting an affirmation is different, but they kind of fall into the same categories of they really help you stay mindful throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, the day that I set the affirmation that I can handle anything that comes my way today, like, it turned into a crap show at work. To put it the least vulgar way I can. So it was just like, I set that affirmation at the beginning of the day, and I just kind of kept repeating it to myself all day long. I was like, I can handle this, I can handle this, I can handle this. And had I never thought about that in the morning, I think that my attitude towards everything that day probably would have been a lot different. So that was one of the things that I actually really did like. I enjoyed the difference I got confused between the difference in the priorities and the tasks. And the cool thing about the Panda Planner is that you can go online and look at videos. They show you exactly how to fill it out and, like, what they mean by everything. But to this day, it still throws me off sometimes on trying to differentiate between the priorities and the tasks.
Yeah.
Because to me, like, my priorities are my tasks.
Right.
But that's not really what they're asking you. They're asking you, like, what today do you want to make sure, you know, you focus on or that you get done, or that you want to work on, whereas tasks, I guess, is kind of breaking it down into, like, the little mini steps.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got of it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it still throws me off no matter what. So it's a learning process there. I'm missing the reflection at the end of the day about 40% of the time, which is quite significant, but, you know, it's a learning curve. I also didn't like that it was too big to put it in my purse, and my work bag is already full enough. I'm not going to put more in there.
Yeah.
And I would really like it if they came out with a travel size one, because I would probably utilize that pretty well.
Right.
And then this is more just me being nitpicky than it is about the actual journal itself. It's just sometimes the layout bothers me a little bit.
Okay. Like what?
I don't like it has the schedule
right
on the side of it, which I feel like sometimes I don't even need that, because it's the same thing every day. It's like, work at this hour, come home at this hour.
Right.
So I don't really need it there, and I would much rather have a lot more room to actually write my tasks down, because the tasks box is
pretty
really
small. Okay, I can see that.
So, like I said, that's me being nitpicky about how it's laid out, but I personally, the time... What did
the
I just,
schedule.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you. The schedule part... I don't utilize.
Okay.
I would prefer to have more room to write my tasks. I would prefer to have more room to write an affirmation or the things that I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the review, when I actually do the review, I would have, like, more room to write in that. But it's also me coming from having bullet journaled.
Yeah, where it's custom to whatever you want.
Where I could make it look like however I wanted it to look like. I could take up as many pages as I needed to take up, and it didn't make a difference because I could always just go buy another blank canvas for that. And even though the bullet journal had its pros, there was a lot of cons, one being that it wasn't set up for me. So that's what's nice about the Panda Planner, but it's not set up in the most efficient way for me.
Right.
It's not Panda Planner's fault.
That's just a preference.
Preference, yeah.
So I'm like the opposite. I'm glad it had the schedule because I have meetings throughout the day and I will like forget what time a meeting is. And I think that they just try to get a little bit of everything in there. So I think overall it's a good general start. But yeah, I think it would have been nice to have more space for the gratitude and then for the tasks too, because I think there's space for like 5 tasks. And I'm like, I have like 80 to do today.
And there might even be more boxes for more tasks, but the point is that it's just such a small
box. It's hard to write it in there.
Write it into.
Yeah.
Like if I really need to get into detail, I'm going to have to put some arrows up into the priorities or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So,
okay.
So that was that. Let's move on to the Mindful series. So for the Mindful series, like I said, this was something that was completely different, totally not used to it. That being said, I absolutely loved it.
I am in love with this. I never thought I would be in love with this.
Yeah.
I'm not the type that would like sit and think creatively. As I said before, I'm not a very creative person, but this like did it for me. This was so much fun.
But it's not just creative. Like even though it kind of seems creative, this isn't the mindful creative.
Right.
It's the mindful strategist. So it's kind of focusing more so on that kind of mindset.
And like critical thinking.
Yeah. So I'm kind of really excited to see what the mindful creative will be.
That's
it's going to be, I don't want to say weird because that kind of has a negative connotation to it, but in a positive way, it's going to be a little bit weirder because it's more creative,
it's
right?
It's going to push us in a way different direction.
Yes. Yeah. So, I loved it because it was thought-provoking, extremely thought-provoking, and it really makes you break out of your mundane conversations that you have every single day about things that don't really matter.
Yep.
And then it kind of gives you the freedom to think bigger and think about things that some people, quite frankly, are scared to think about, right? It makes me think of things that I probably wouldn't have reflected on after it happened as well. And there was one in there, because the way I did it, I was doing it before bed most days.
Okay.
And I didn't do this particular one because it told me to go for a walk and like be really mindful in my walk about the things around me and to write it down, but I was about to go to bed, so I didn't do that one. But I love that it told me to go for a walk because it just shows you the power of like being outside and getting in that exercise has on your mental capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. And then there's a couple in there that kind of give you permission to people watch, which I really like because I people watch relentlessly and I don't care what they think I'm doing or if they give me dirty looks, I do it anyway. But I have a go ahead with this thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of the, I guess, projects or assignment, I would say assignments in here that I really enjoyed. So I'm just going to go over a couple of them. We did talk about how it did make us write a poem. I wrote a poem, but it's not polished. So I'm going to deeply consider whether or not I'll put it on social media. But one of the first ones I did, and I did it with my husband, was the 55 one. So this is about kind of reflection. And it says, take yourself back 50 years. How would you have met a prospective partner? And have gone about asking them out on a date. And I was like, that's, I would never have to think about that. Why would you ever think about that? And so I sat down, I'm like, holy crap, like 50 years ago is so drastically different than now. So my answer for this one, and I was just imagining like me seeing Nick at like a speakeasy, I'd probably just flirt by sending over a beer or something like that and make like sweet flirty eyes, you know what I mean?
That would be pretty bold for 50 years
back
ago,
then. Yeah, but also I'm a very bold person.
Yeah.
So that's how I would have got my man Biscuit back then. And then it asks you in 5 years, if you had to date, how do you think you would date? And they have all of these VR Oculus things now.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like,
so
I
true.
Bet there's like a VR Oculus chat room. And then I would just like saunter up with my an emoji thing or my I don't know what you call them, my fake version of me, and then send like a heart emoji
your
and then
avatar.
Go from there. My avatar. Yeah. There you go. And then go from there, because that's kind of how that's kind of how dating is going. So it asks you what the difference is to compare and contrast it. I would still flirt. I'm going to flirt regardless of what day and age it is. But the main difference that I saw, which is kind of deep, is that we're losing that in-person personal touch with people. Touch, yeah. And then it's going to more like technology. So that was kind of interesting to think of, is that like in 50 years, people are not going to meet each other at a bar, no. Or they're not going to go to like a library and hang out and just talk to someone. It's probably all going to be VR.
Meeting people 50 years from now in person is probably the equivalent of people meeting over internet 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Weird, weird. So that was one of my favorites. That was 55. The other one that I want to talk about, we did, oh my gosh, yeah. I'm going to cry.
Wait, no, I want to wait on this one because it's a really good conversation. Okay, you go ahead. So the couple of ones that I did that I wanted to share, one of them was connected conversations. So basically, it asks you to list three people that you talked to and what you talked about. And then it goes on to ask you, like, what impressions did you walk away with? What new insights did you gain from that conversation? What inspired you? What do you think you want to talk to them the next what do you want to talk to them about
next time you talk to
next
them?
Time you talk to okay, them thank you're good. You and then is there a project or a problem that you can collaborate on? So that's kind of where like that the mindful strategist part,
yeah,
kind of comes in, which I thought was really creative. But like I mentioned earlier, it makes you like think of things that you probably never would have reflected on earlier in the day. And I had actually some really interesting conversations with patients that day. And like there was this one patient that I have that I actually have a really good relationship with, and we get along super well. And she was telling me all about like her music career and her acting career.
Oh.
And she was like telling me this movie, and I like looked it up on IMDb.
Uh-huh,
IMDb. And like I saw her name on the cast. Aww. List, and I was like, oh my gosh, like you're not lying, like
that's cool,
that's really holy cool crap. And like she like sang in all these like musicals, and aww. And I mean, even though it was just kind of like a side conversation we were having before the doctor came in, like I learned a lot about her, but I learned a lot about her character through that, which I wouldn't have really thought about her character
Unless you had that conversation.
If I never had this, the mindful strategist, I never would have gone back and reflected on this conversation means she's this kind of a person, oh. You know? Like, she's, obviously, she's really brave. She made a career out of something that's super hard to
and
make
a career.
And is she
older?
Yeah.
That's hard back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, she even gave me a CD that she made. And I listened to her CD. I was like, holy cow, like, you got pipes, like, you know? And so, like, it really, like, made me think about not only what has she done, but her character and kind of, like, the guts it took to do all of that. And yeah. Kind of helps me learn, you know, you really need to kind of, like, put yourself out there and just be brave if you really want to go after what your dreams are, which she did. And so, like, that was just kind of an interesting takeaway from that particular conversation. The other one that I did was digital detox, which ooh. I love those because we did the Unplugged Challenge
yes.
in season one. So obviously I'm a fan of them. This one is basically turning off your electronics and unplugging from anything digital for an hour throughout the day. And then you're supposed to journal your feelings, things you notice, or even draw the things that you notice. So what I did, I came home, instead of sitting down and watching, you know, TV, I just went straight outside. I left my phone inside and I just played with the dogs for an hour after work. And not only did I feel relieved, but I also, well, obviously I was able to spend some quality time with my dogs and I noticed that they were a lot happier. But like it's starting to turn winter here. So I smelled winter for aww. The first time, and I wouldn't have noticed that if I was inside watching TV. But I also noticed that by the time I went back inside, I was in a lot better mood compared to the days that I come home and I sit down and watch TV right after work. So that was kind of like a learning thing about myself, is that I really need to give myself a good amount of time when I come home away from these kind of distractions, to really like help me get in the mindset that I need to be in with the people that I come home to.
Right.
So I really love this one, and it obviously reminded me of Unplugged and like, you know, turning off the things that don't really matter. Not to say that some things don't matter, but like, you need to take a break.
Yeah, some stuff can wait.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm excited to talk about this one, so go ahead.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. So, okay, so one of the assignments is called a provocative question. So in this, they list three different questions you can ask, and we got together our family. So it was Chelsea and I, Nick, Anthony, Chelsea's boyfriend, and then Aaron, our collective mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the three questions, which were really interesting, is what is the best gift you've ever received and why? The next one is, what is society's definition of masculinity and what's your definition? And then, what, if anything, is too serious to be joked about and why? So those are all really good questions. But the first one really, like, that was a lot of fun and it was really eye-opening. And I love these questions because anytime we usually get together, it's just like, oh, what's been going on in your world? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. It's not like deep stuff. And I love talking about deep stuff.
Yeah. And we did not expect to get as emotional as we did when we were talking about these things.
Not at all. Like, I'm an emotional person, but the topics, just because they were so personal and so filled with love, like, it just blew my socks off and I loved it. And I learned a lot about, like, everyone.
Our family, yeah.
Every single person, like, even, like, Nick. Yeah. It was great. So I'm going to go over them because they're really cool.
And okay. She will cry.
I'm going to cry. I'm going to try to keep it together. So Aaron, who is our collective mother. So Nick, I can't even do this. So Nick, do whenever he was in first grade, I've got this. Nick is a mama's boy in the best way possible.
Yes.
He loves his mother. He's very respectful. He's like one of the dying breed that's just a good man, and he would take care of his mom till the end of time. Okay. So whenever he was in first grade,
whole face is wet right now.
He bought his mom a necklace, and it was like one of those old school best friend necklaces that like has a zigzag in the middle, and if you put them together, it says best friend. And that was his gift to her in the first grade. And that was so important to Erin because she sat back and she's like, you know, I did something right. Like, my son, it loves me and he's kind and sweet, and I did something right. Like, I'm raising a good man. And I love that because Nick is like just one of the most wholesome men in the planet. Sorry to rant about him for a second. But he's super, whenever it comes to certain people, he is sensitive. Like, he will listen, he'll do whatever it takes to make that person happy. But on the other hand, if you upset him, like, he's just not the type of person you want to upset. He's
the Elias men are very loyal, passionate to the people that they love.
Very loyal. So I loved hearing that from Aaron because it just goes to show that one of the most important things in her life is the fact that she raised a really good son. Okay. Woo. The next one, go ahead and tell yours, Chelsea, because you're right here. Say it.
Yeah. So, well, I had, it was really hard to pick.
Yes.
So the first one that I picked for, what was the question again?
So it is, what is the best gift you've best ever gift, received?
Yes. Okay. So the best gift that I ever received that I could think of at the time was a pair of earrings that Anthony got for me. And it was a good gift, the best gift, because I've wanted those earrings since I was like freshman, sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so expensive that I could never afford them. And all of the exes that I had been with before would just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You know?
And like, I thought they were awesome. And to let everybody know, they're a pair of fossilized shark teeth earrings that have like a turquoise inlay in them.
And these are like high quality.
Yeah.
High quality.
Yeah. Very high quality. Very, very expensive. Like, I couldn't afford them even if I, you know, I couldn't afford them in high school. I couldn't afford them in college. I couldn't afford them after college.
Right.
So like I showed Anthony and he ended up getting them for me, and it was so special because he cared enough about it and he knew that I loved him enough to still ask. Well, I didn't even ask for them, but I showed him and I said, you know, eventually I'm going to have these. And, you know, this was maybe 6 months into dating him that he got them for me for Christmas. And one of my exes got like a smaller pair of them for me, but they weren't the ones that I liked. They were the ones that he liked. So the intention like wasn't right, you know,
right.
And they weren't as special. But when I opened the box that Anthony gave me, like, I ugly cried for like 5 minutes.
Oh.
So that was my first one. And then my second one was a framed picture of my old dog Ludo. And anybody who listened to season one, the gratitude episode, knows that whenever I talk about Ludo, I cry. but the same year that I got the earrings was the same year that my mom gave me a gigantic framed picture of Ludo for Christmas. So I ugly cried twice in one day.
Yeah, that was pretty, that was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so those are my two best.
So, yeah, I love that because it shows how much you appreciate people.
Yeah.
Especially with Anthony. Like, it's super sweet. He's a good guy.
Yeah. And then you found out how much the earrings were and you're like, don't ever expect another pair of earrings. Yeah, I'm like,
you're never getting another pair of earrings after that. So just be okay with this one. Yeah. But Anthony's a great guy. So going to Anthony, oh my gosh, this one tore me up. So Anthony,
but this one, like, it, like, grew on you. At first, you're like, oh, okay. And then he, like, started explaining why.
God, I could not. This was, like, too... Do you want to say it or do you want me to say it?
You have it, like, written down. I don't remember all the details.
So whenever Anthony was younger, I guess Christmas was ruined for him whenever he was, like, five or six years old.
Yeah, so when he was, like, five, he figured out the truth about Santa Claus. And he has five children in his family. So it was a very, very big family. And when you have a very big family, limited resources are limited, obviously. So just keep that in mind as we go through this.
Yes. So he remembers one of the Christmas holidays, his family taking all of the kids to go to the store, the toy store, to pick out something.
Because they knew Santa wasn't going to
pick. Yeah, because they knew Santa wasn't. So they're like, just here, pick whatever you want. So, which was very kind of them. So, I can't do this. This is just too much. So, he picked out a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, which was pretty tall. Like, it was, it sounds like it was one of the fancy big toys, which are expensive back then. And so he picked that and he, like, made sure with his parents that it was okay and everything like that. So, he remembers, and this kills me. So, his parents bought that for him, but then he remembers going back to that same store multiple times with his parents as they paid it off in layaway, as they paid off their Christmas toys. And that just, it was so sweet to me because number one, Anthony recognizes, I can't do this, how sweet his parents were and how hardworking they are. Because it's hard when you're an adult and you're just like, oh yeah, my parents give you this, 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 and this. But you forget that, you know, it comes from money and your parents bust their butt to get that done for you. So it's super sweet that he recognized that as an adult, and you could tell that it meant a lot to him, and his parents seem like really good people.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then for mine, my grandfather is a photographer, and that's like our main connection out of all the grandkids and his kids. Like, that's what we really have. So whenever a few years back, he gave me a set of his photography like his
equipment.
Yeah, thank you. Like his actual camera and lenses, and this stuff is not cheap. So he sat down with me, explained how to use it, and ever since then we had a huge bond. So that was my favorite one. And then my second favorite one is what I call the Alabama proposal. So Nicholas, I think we were like 3 months into dating, and he bought me a fishing pole, and I had never had like my own like fishing equipment myself, and I broke down crying, and he probably thought I was the weirdest chick on the planet to be crying over a fishing pole. But like, people in Alabama, like, we love to hunt and fish, and I had kind of been deprived since I lived here in Arizona for like most of my life. So him giving me that kind of opened my world to like outdoor fishing, hunting, and I'm a totally different person compared to whenever I first met him, because that's like my life now. I love being outdoors. So that was my second favorite one. And I called the Alabama proposal because I called my mom and she's like, he's basically asking you to marry him. I'm like, it's 3 months in, but okay, we're gonna do this, mom. I'm gonna marry this man. And then now we're here, we're married. So it was really good. I learned a lot about everyone. I think that was a fun exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm dehydrated from crying, but it was a really good exercise. So this mindful series planner, I can't get enough of it. It really stretches your mind. It gets you to know people. It makes you think deeper about everything that's going around you. So I for both of these, for me, yes, get both. It might sound weird, but it's going to work on two different aspects of your life. One is productivity to get stuff done, and then the other one's just like your critical thinking and the way you see the world. And I'm in love with this mindful planner. Like, I'm so in love.
Yes. And like I said, if you guys are interested not only in this one, but in the other two that are due to come out this year, the Mindful Creative and the Mindful Entrepreneur, you can go to themindfulseries.com. They have an email list that you can sign up for to get notified when the two new ones come out. And then you can order the Mindful Strategist on there. I think that this deserves a mini episode in 1 month so we can reflect on how we are 1 month from now after doing this. Because even though we only spent a week on it and it was an amazing experience for just the 1 week, I'm like really, really interested in seeing where we are in 30 days with this.
Yeah, I am craving more from this. And once again, thank you, Justine. If you guys even want to just follow on social media on Instagram, it's at The Mindful Series. You can just follow up to see when stuff's being put out. Go buy this now. It's worth every single dollar. Like, it is so worth it. Everyone needs to do this.
And when The Mindful Creative and The Mindful Entrepreneur come out, I would love to do a challenges with those.
Yes,
two.
We want to review that. So the Strategist one, it seems like it's a lot on critical thinking, and it's doing the trick for me. I love it. I'm gonna say it one more time.
I can really see this benefiting me not only personally but professionally as well if I do this for an extended period of time.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, some of the exercises you don't put two and two together, and it forces you to think outside of the box. And then when you're done, you're like, holy crap, I can think in such an odd way to get stuff done in such a different way that I don't do day to day. So exercise your brain and get the Mindful Series and get the Strategist book right now.
Go do it
now. Right now.
All right. So we're going to take a break from all the emotional stuff right now, Avery.
Okay, thank you.
And give you some time to compose yourself again.
Oh, God.
And get dry. So we're going to do our icebreaker. And like we said last episode, season two is going to be a season of what if icebreakers. I'm sorry, not what if. Would you rather icebreakers instead of random questions. So Avery, would you rather experience the beginning of planet Earth or the end of planet Earth?
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Do I have to die at the end? I'm assuming so if it's the end.
Well, I mean, you're experiencing
it. So I'm just like watching it from the outside, or am I like in it?
I don't know. I guess it's open to interpretation. Because when I see this, it says, would you rather experience? So I guess, like, would you rather experience the beginning of everything? Or would you rather experience the end of everything, which we know the end of everything is death?
Well, crap. I'm going to say the end because I feel like I'm praying that the planet's here for like another 200 years if we don't destroy it somehow. And I feel like technology is going to get crazy. So I just want to see what we're capable of doing in the end game. Although I want to see some dinosaurs and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure I'd get trampled and die very quickly. I think the end game, that's what I want to take a peek at.
Okay. Would you interpret this differently if it was like observing instead of experiencing it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I want to see both. I do want to see the beginning just because there's a hot, hot debate on how that beginning is. So, yeah, I would like to know. You know what? Oh, I'm going to change my answer. If I can know where the world starts and why, that might change my philosophy on, like, religion and the end game for me as a human. So that might, I don't know, that's something deep. And then, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
You know what? No, I'm going to stick with the end game. All right, I'm done. Go chill.
So if I had to experience one of the two,
okay,
I think I would rather experience the beginning.
Ooh.
Main reason being, well, you know, I want to know if it was like a Thanos snap and the whole universe was created.
Yes.
Or whatever happened, I want to know. But like this planet is just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what it looked like when it was born,
like flourishing.
Yeah, like I want to see it without the pollution and without like all of the deforestation and without all of the crap that we've done to it, and I just want to see it in its purity.
All the people, there would not be that too. Many people. That's nice.
Yeah
really nice.
I value alone time, so
you're gonna perfect. Go chill with the dinosaurs.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go ride a stegosaurus.
Yeah,
just chill. Whatever they sound like.
All right. So our next challenge kind of going along with the beginning of the year, everybody setting healthy goals and resolutions and everything, we're going to go over meal prepping. That's going to be our challenge for the next 14 days. And there were a couple of reasons why we decided to do this one, but I do want to point out we actually did get a lot of feedback from people who listened to season one, and they kept hearing me talk about meal prepping and meal prepping and meal prepping, and they reached out to Avery and said, you know what, she talks about it a lot, I'm interested in it and I really want to learn more about how you do it or how other people do it, which that's the kind of feedback that we're looking for, so that's why we wanted to do it. I know, Avery, What are some reasons why you want to try the meal prepping?
I'm hoping that it'll help me stick to my diet. So whenever with my job, I'm in my car a lot right now. Right. So if I don't pack something, I just go to like Taco Bell, and that is not going to work for this coming year. Like I need to be fit and fabulous, and Taco Bell doesn't really do that to me.
Right.
So I'm hoping that that'll help me stick to my diet. Yeah, I really will buy whatever sounds good if I don't have it in front of me, and I just want to feel better. So I'm hoping if I plan it ahead, there's just no excuses.
Cool. For me, if everybody's been listening to a while, you know that I do this pretty regularly anyway, although some weeks I just don't get around to it, and that's fine. I'm human. But I like to do it because it helps me save time during the week. I'm not taking an hour out of my day every day to cook dinner or to cook breakfast or whatever it might be. It helps me save money because I'm not going out to eat as much, but I also have a budget when I go to the grocery store, and I try to stay within the budget. So that means looking for deals and coupons and all of that fun stuff. And then it helps me stick to my health goals a lot better when I have it planned versus if I'm just on like making decisions on the fly. The concerns that I have for it, even though I have been doing it for a little while, there's always room for improvement. Always, always, always. So, you know, even with doing this for the next 2 weeks, I'll probably learn something that I didn't know before. I do know that I get sick of the food that I make every week after like the third day of eating it.
Yep.
And then usually by Friday, like I go out for a lunch at work or something. So I'm hoping to maybe like figure out how I can make more than one kind of a lunch every week, or just make something that's a little bit better that will satisfy my urges by day five or whatever. And then what a lot of people will learn along the way is that if you don't meal prep right, your food can turn out really bad. It won't taste right. It will get really soggy by the next day. And by day three, it's just like goop. And your food can go bad. So that's always a learning process too.
So for me, I'm kind of along the same lines with you. I get bored pretty easy. So I get bored with my food. It needs to be fun, delicious. I need to be into it. The other thing is I can only have cold lunch options. So it kind of, I can't have like leftover dinner or anything like that because most of my dinners are hot. So I have to be very cautious and figure out what I can do for cold lunches. And then I've packed my lunches before, but it's usually not filling, or it, as you said, like by the time I eat it, it just doesn't taste right. Yeah. So I need to figure out the right temperature with everything. And then I'm not a huge leftover person. I just don't like leftovers, and it's just a week of leftovers is how my mind is telling me it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I'll figure it out. I think I can do this.
Cool, cool. All right, cool. Well, do this with us. Since everybody was really interested in it last season, we're finally doing it. Give it a try with us, and you know, post on our Instagram when we start posting these, comment on our posts, you know, start that dialogue, because the more dialogue we have, the better we can kind of tailor everything to our listeners and all of our followers on social media. And then if there's anything else that you guys are curious about, let us know too.
Yeah. And I think the plan is for the next episode, we're going to give you like clear guidelines of how to meal prep the right way. So we'll give you tips and tricks and let you know what we learned over the last 2 weeks. So hopefully you guys can successfully do it as well.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to end the episode with another quote. And I really like this quote. I heard it sometime last year and it's really stuck with me since then. I don't know who said it or if it's like a proverb or if it's like a Yiddish proverb. Like, I don't know. So whoever said this, hat goes off to you, apparently. All right. So the quote is, "Happy is the man who wants what he already has."
I love that.
Yeah, we love that one.
People don't really get that they have so much already. If you focus on what you have, it's your life's golden. Don't focus on what you want. I mean, focus on what you want, but don't be discontent with the fact that you don't have it yet.
Happy is the man who wants what he already has.
Okay, guys. Go out there and practice what you preach.
Preach.